The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM,
another kind of daytime radio program
on SB Nation Radio
and on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Rob Gronkowski, through his agent Drew Rosenau, said, "It's time. I just want another championship. I'm going out on top. I just want to do nothing for a while. I just want to be me. I just want to have fun." Who has had more fun than Rob Gronkowski over the past 10 years? Rob Gronkowski has been sort of immune to like the Patriot culture, where you don't say much, you keep your head down, no days off, that rugged, we just want to... Rob Gronkowski has had a blast being the tight end of the New England Patriots. Oh, I'm sure it hasn't all been fun in games. I'm sure there's been some down moments. I'm sure there's been some question of doubt under injuries and all that. But he's right. He won another championship. He's going out on top. He's had a number of injuries. He probably says, you know what? Listen, I've got more money than I know what to do with. I've got fame. I can do all sorts of great things. I am now have the ability to make even more money doing some other things. But man, I don't want to leave this game hurt. I don't want to leave this game with problems. I don't want to leave this game with things that are going to linger forever and ever and ever. I'm getting out while I'm 29 and I've had my fun and I made my money. Now I'm 30. Imagine being close to 30 years old and realizing the next thing that you get to do in your life is absolutely nothing at all. Didn't they make a movie called Office Space and with that was the goal of Peter Gibbons, the main character, when his goal was to do nothing at all? Well, that's Rob Gronkowski. He gets to do nothing at all because of the 10 years that he has spent in the NFL playing tight end for the Patriots and winning titles. Good for him. I've enjoyed watching him play. He's the best tight end I've ever seen. I put him on top. I know there's going to be plenty of argument as to who is on top, and there's been a lot of great tight ends over the years. I mean, from Shannon Sharp to Travis Kelce, Anthony Gonzalez, Antonio Gates, all of the great tight ends, Russ Francis from when I was a kid. There's a whole bunch of them. But Rob Gronkowski is the best. I think he did it better. I think he did it in terms of his ability to block, his ability to catch the ball, the ability to catch in the double team. What he meant for the Patriots offense, what he meant to Tom Brady, I think all of that's put together, and I think he goes out as the top tight end. I know people will disagree, but that's the way I've always assessed Rob Gronkowski's career. But he's going out on top, and he's going to have some fun. And I'm kind of waiting to see what kind of fun that actually is.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. I said I was going to miss Rob Gronkowski. I think many people will too. I don't think people will miss his dominating with the Patriots and, you know, him playing, you know, making the big catch on third down when you're hoping to get the Patriots off the field offensively. Well, I don't think people will miss that. But I just found his personality, I don't know, it was appealing. He was a likable guy. But I go back to something we were talking about earlier. This would not have worked for everybody. You know, if there was any player, I mean, most players in this league, if they had done a party boat thing, it just wouldn't work. There would be problems. You'd have, you know, local media wondering if this is appropriate or whatnot. And I understand the criticism. The criticism was real, right? I mean, there were people who said, listen, if an African-American player went on a party boat, he would be crucified. And yet Rob Gronkowski had become celebrated, right? And I think there is some truth to that.
Well, you think about the last party boat incidences that we've had. We've had Odell Beckham Jr.,
right.
But, I mean, that one was kind of odd because I was in the middle of playoffs.
Right. It was in the middle of the week of the playoffs. And we had the Vikings party boat thing.
Yeah, that was the only other one I can remember.
Right, right.
Has there any – I can't really think of an NFL player that has had – tumultuous isn't the word I'm looking for. But, you know, along those lines of an offseason, NFL offseasons. Because Gronkowski always seems to be – living it up during the offseason,
yeah,
and we
right?
hear about it. But I don't know, I don't really recall us paying much attention to other players.
No, me either. And that's the thing. And that's part of, that's part of the kind of appeal, I guess, for Gronkowski. I found it kind of fun. I found it kind of cool. I never thought that there was a problem with the drinking and debauchery that was going to go on the Gronk cruise. I thought it was all in good fun. And how, you know, this is what you do. You go on cruises, you go to drink and you don't have to do anything. You just drink and have a good time. And then you get off the boat and then you go back to your life.
He just seemed like a really big kid.
That's right. A very big kid, a really big kid who played that up. And I think we'll play that up post career. Like there's all these what's next, Rob Gronkowski, whatever the heck he wants. Right. I mean, his life is pretty much open. Maybe they could get him to do Monday Night Football. Probably not. Yeah, we'll see.
That'd be fantastic. Oh, my God. Are you kidding? Can we make a push for that?
Because you know what I would see Rob Gronkowski doing? And this is no disrespect to Jason Witten, who that's a tough job. But in the stuff that I read leading into Witten's reemergence back in the NFL or coming back into the NFL was that he really tried so hard to make sure he was getting things right and saying things right. And he was worried when he was mispronouncing things or misstating things, you know, all of those blunders that he had because he knew he was going to get hit on Twitter. Rob Gronkowski, I don't think would care. Like Rob Gronkowski would just freewheel it. And I don't think it would bother him if he said something like that was wrong. Like some and just use the, you know, the wrong analogy or anything like that. I think he would just go, what do you want? I'm Rob Gronkowski. I'm having a good time. I'm doing this because I'm having fun. That doesn't mean to say he wouldn't put the work in. I mean, he put in the work playing tight end. He just had a good time while playing tight end for the New England Patriots. And again,
it helps winning all those championships too.
Yeah, it certainly does. But it goes so against. He was the exact opposite of everybody that's played for New England, right?
Everybody. I mean,
everybody who's played for New England, that sort of very tight-lipped, very to the bone business entity.
Even as someone who was as outspoken as Randy Moss was, and by the time he got to New England, you didn't hear anything.
All business. Yeah. They are, and by the way, most Patriots, they're terrible interviews.
Right?
When you get them, they're terrible because they'll give you the basics, right? Which is what most guys like me want. And I've had a few Patriots. When I did the night shows on this network, sometimes we'd get Patriot. You guys would get them on the air and they don't tell you anything. They don't say anything. And then when you try to get some information, they shut you down. They go, I don't talk about that. Now, Gronk didn't break the rules. Gronk didn't talk about injuries of players and whatnot, like the kind of thing they do. But at least he was gregarious and fun. At least he was a little different. He looked like he was, you know, again, he was just a big kid and he was playing it, you know, he was playing a very important position of the most important team in the NFL. Remember, he came in with Aaron Hernandez for crying out loud. They were the dual tight end combination. And then he had to take over that role when Hernandez got into some trouble. And he did great. He excelled at that. Like I said, I think he's the best tight end to have ever played. I know you can make some arguments based on effectiveness on other guys, but I think just the complete package of what the tight end is, I think Gronkowski did it better. But I wonder if, and this is just me, because I am I I I get into this, and I think some of us all also do too, is that it's that cliche, the last thing I saw is the best thing I saw. Maybe if I give it more thought, I'll change. But right now, I feel like he's going out as one of the top tight ends in NFL history.
I mean, when you come to think of it, I mean, you hit the nail on the head earlier. I mean, we've had a lot of really good pass-catching tight ends. I think of Antonio Gates.
Of course.
You know, there's a little bit of fandom inside me that, you know, will kind of lean that way. But he was a great pass-catching tight end. I don't really remember him as a run blocker.
Yeah.
In fact, they used to bring in Virgil Green just for those moments to block for LaDainian Tomlinson. Yeah. And it's like, in fact, if you knew he was coming in, it was pretty much, okay, it's going to be a run.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
You kind of had to know. That's what made LT so great.
Yeah, that's right.
And I don't really remember, you know, it was like, you know, the other great tight end that sticks out my mind was Tony Gonzalez. I don't really remember him being Tony that Gonzalez, much of a blocker.
Right, I don't either. Jason Witten was a pretty good blocker. Jason Witten did a good job with that. But yeah, I mean, you're right. The combination of both. And he, again, astonishing that he... nearly 70 yards per game for a tight end. Remarkable. And again, not only does he go out on top, he goes out with winning a Super Bowl, but having one of the most important plays in the Super Bowl. And that's what I think is remarkable, is that moment he caught that pass in a boring, boring Super Bowl where nothing was going on offensively for either team. I mean, unless you love defense. When the Patriots needed a big play, they needed a big conversion, he got the conversion 29 yards down to the 2-yard line, and that set up the only touchdown of the game in the 13-3 victory over the Rams. So why not leave on top? Why not? You know, you might as well. Would you like to get the lowest prices on most of your airline tickets? SmartFares can save you up to 70% on your airline tickets. Foreign or domestic travel, call now for special unpublished rates, 800-296-1432. 800-296-1432. That's 800-296-1432. All right, coming up next, we'll go back to college basketball. Some thoughts from the weekend that we have and looking to at the head at the Thursday and Friday games. Also, good, the bad, and the dumb. We'll have that for you in, 20 minutes? We'll do that? So don't keep it right here. We had to move it due to Shelby, Mass., but we got it for you coming up. It's Tony D, Ron Culver, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You can now earn O Rewards points online at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. Earn points any way you shop at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You receive a $5 reward for every 150 points you earn. Visit orewards.com and become an O'Reilly O Rewards member today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. I got to take my car into a tire store. The pressure on my tire keeps going down. I keep having to give it air. It's probably a leak, but I'm afraid there's some damage to it. I got to go get that looked at.
Nothing worse than just, you know, them coming back to you like, we found a screw. And you're like, no kidding. Don't say that.
Keep filling it with air. Keeps going down. Keeps filling it with air.
Have you ever used that, like, that green stuff or whatever that you spray in there that's supposed to slow down?
No, I have not.
I've never used it either.
No, I have not used that either. I probably should because of this tire, but I'm hoping they'll just tell me we'll just patch that up. It's good.
God, so. I had a scary moment. We had just gotten the brakes fixed on our car.
Ooh, very good.
And, you know, it was weird because they were a little sensitive. wasn't used to it. I was like,
yes.
I guess my wife kept telling me the brakes were bad, and I listened somewhat. And it was just like, you know, the first time I stepped on, I'm like, there is a considerable difference. You know what, honey, you were right.
Yep.
But this happened on Friday. I'm driving home, and all of a sudden, it's like, I feel like I have to push the brake a lot harder. Or, you know, further down just to get it to start to stop. And I was like, this, I don't know why this just doesn't feel right. Maybe I'm just overthinking it. And then as soon as my wife got in the car and she said the same thing, I'm like, okay, now I know it's not me. And I said, well, you know, take the other car. I'll take this one back to the mechanic because we literally just got our brakes fixed. and took it in there. And as I'm driving there, it was almost, I guess what had happened was there was a leak in a screw, or one of the screws was cracked that was leaking all the brake fluid.
Ew.
So literally getting to a point where you can step on that thing and you weren't braking at all.
Oh, that's awful.
And it was, I mean, it was just, literally was like coasting into the mechanic. It was like pulling into the parking lot. I'm like, I think I'm just going to hit the curb to slow down.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's scary.
And all I could think about was like, God, if, you know, if we just said, nah, you know what, just go ahead, take it to work. You know, you got to drive on the freeway. That's the only thought that was going through my mind. I was like, yeah, just take it to work and, you know, we'll get it fixed over the weekend. And, you know, you're driving on the freeway like 70, 80 miles per hour and you can't stop.
Oh, see, I mean, that's frightening.
That was, yeah, that was
terribly frightening.
Really freaked me out. And then as soon as I got in the car, I was like, all of a sudden, because I was so used to having to press down the brake, I'm like literally touching the floor with the brake. You know, the first time I stopped, I almost felt like a new driver. I was like, okay, these brakes work.
Glad it works.
But yeah, that was a little worse. I've never experienced that. And then I explained, you know, then I got home. I was like, okay, well, that explains what that little stain in the driveway is.
Wow.
And that's brake fluid.
Yeah. All right. So the tournament game's coming up this weekend. Again, mostly chalk. I'm not a tell you about my bracket kind of guy. I don't think people really care how my bracket's doing. But I told people to do this, and then I didn't do this. I said, listen, don't go crazy with your upsets. Push comes to shove, go chalk. If you had listened to my advice, you'd be winning your office pool right now.
Yeah, the only one you'd be missing out on is Oregon.
But I don't do that. Yeah, exactly. I don't do that. I go, oh, no, I'm not, you know, I'm going to take this upset a little bit further than I should.
Yep.
I got this, and I shouldn't. And yet
I drank the Belmont Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
They were in my Sweet 16.
Yep, exactly. So nevertheless, the game, I really, really am looking forward to Houston versus Kentucky. I am really looking forward to that.
I really hope Shelby Mast is right. We had him on last in the last hour.
Yep.
And he said that, you know, this is time for big boy basketball. And now we should finally start seeing some buzzer beaters, because that's the only thing that was been lacking. We haven't had one.
Yeah, we haven't had one, and that's really a bummer, because that's part of the charm of this is you get a little upset, get a little taste of Cinderella, having some fun, but you also get some close games, and we haven't really gotten that. I was telling you the other night, I was watching a game, and there was like a 20-point lead, a 15-point lead, and I was like, I don't need to watch this. There's another game on. I'll flip it to another game. And then that game was a 15-point lead. And I was like,
I was doing the same thing.
Why am I bouncing around with this?
I was driving people nuts in my house, because they'd be watching one game, and all of a sudden I'm like, well, let me check out the other one. And it would be the same thing. And they'd be like, wait, why are the uniforms? Did that other game end? And I'm like, no, that game was boring, so I decided to put on this other boring one.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But yeah, so, no buzzer beaters. That's the thing we love about March Madness, is that a game could be decided at, you know, just by one. And we almost had it with Duke UCF.
Somewhat. Yeah, no, that goes to what I was saying a lot about Duke. There's so many Duke haters out there that even though you're like, man, Duke's good, Zion Williamson, I got them in the finals.
Yep.
I got them winning the whole thing. You'd give that away if you could just see them lose to Central Florida. Like, if you could just see Duke walking off that court and Mike Krzyzewski at a press conference going, well, we still had a good year. It didn't end the way we wanted, but we still had a good season. You'd be like, this is all worth it. I love it. Well, he was really emotional about Johnny Dawkins. Did you see that?
Yes.
He was really this guy. We talked about this with Tom Izzo. There is a relationship that these coaches have with their players that goes so beyond that, they love these guys all the way to the end. Johnny Dawkins played for Coach K 30 something years ago, and he emotionally was saddened that he had to beat Johnny. He treat them like kids. It's like when you have to do, you know, you like your coach or something, you have to play against your kid or something. It stinks. You don't like it. And he loved winning. He wanted to win, but beating, not only that, but watching Johnny Dawkins' kid miss the last shot, couldn't get that bucket to fall. It got to be a really emotion. I mean, you can rip Duke all you want. And I have a good time picking on Duke, and I'm, you know, whatever, but guys, I mean, it's amazing what he's done there. I mean, it is really incredible. And I know once you reach a level, it's easier to recruit, and you know, so I do understand there's a pipeline and all of that, but my goodness, what he's been able to keep doing constantly over time at that university is absolutely remarkable. Now, there is some appeal. I mean, obviously, look, playing at Kentucky, if you're a five-star recruit and you got a chance, you're going to go somewhere, there are some places that, you know, look, are appealing, because when you make your mark there, it's different. There's something about it. There's an appeal to it. Like, you talk to players about the first time they walked into Rupp Arena in Lexington. That's a special place. It's different than Thompson Bowling in Knoxville, for example, or Columbia Coliseum in South Carolina. It is one of the basketball places. Allen Fieldhouse is another one, but Cameron is that too. People walk into Cameron, they see the tight smallness of it, but they see the intimacy of it. They know how crazy the fans are. They go, I want to be a part of this. So I know that's, but to keep doing this kind of thing year in and year out, it's fantastic. Good for him. You know, but man, that run almost ended. And I'm not one of those guys that think like, okay, you know, it doesn't mar anybody's career or who they are. Zion lost yesterday. He'd be same Zion as today.
No, still be no question. Number one overall.
Ben Simmons didn't play in the NCAA tournament. When 1 year at LSU, they went to the NIT. I think they actually got invited to the NIT and they said no. I think that was the year LSU said, we're not even playing in any postseason. We're not even doing this.
Yeah, I remember Shaquille O'Neal, all the hype was around LSU and they crashed out in the first round.
Yep. Exactly.
That certainly hurt his draft stock.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter.
We were all upset that he didn't get chosen for a 92.
Exactly. Just enjoy it for what it is. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't carry any weight. It doesn't matter. It's fine. It is what it is. But the reality of it is that watching Duke struggle in that game, and I think Shelby's right, they don't shoot the ball well from outside. They really haven't all season. It's the thing that got really exposed when Zion was out, because the teams didn't have to account so much for Zion, so they were able to guard a little bit better to the outside, and then and Duke really struggled. But he's also right, they don't hit free throws. These games, I mean, I'm not kidding, when you get closer and closer to the tournament, the free throws are going to matter. Ask John Calipari. Memphis could hit a free throw about 10 years ago against Kansas. That was one of the reasons he lost that game when he was coaching Memphis to the Jayhawks, because his team couldn't hit free throws with Derrick Rose. They couldn't hit free throws, right? So this is going to be a factor. If they don't hit their free throws, man, Zion can do what Zion does, and RJ Barrett can do the same thing, but they better be careful, because that could be an equalizer. This is where I think that the people who are saying the tournament is boring aren't lying, but it also, if you had to get to where we are now, where you're getting some amazing matchups, and you just hope that they turn into good matchups, because if they don't, it's going to struggle. But imagine if Thursday's games, you get like two within the final minute games, maybe one game somebody wins by seven and one game goes into overtime. And I mean, if you're getting those kind of games, okay, all right, then the first, you know, 4 days of the tournament, all right, if I had to sweat through that and kind of be bored a little bit through that to get to that, I'll it's worth it. But you know what, like Shelby said, and I think this is a sentiment for a lot of people, the Cinderella factor in this tournament is like a good spice to a dish. It makes the dish better, but it can't overpower it. Right? You throw in a little, you know, cumin and, you know, maybe a little chili powder. It's supposed to accentuate the dish. Instead, you don't want it to overpower it. And that's this tournament. If you filled the tournament, if this tournament had five Cinderella teams, you'd be like, ugh, really? I'm giving you Houston, Kentucky, all right? A 3 and a 2. I'm giving you a team many of you have not seen this year in Houston against one of the premier powerhouses of college basketball. It's going to be a show. At least it should be. We got Duke and North Carolina still on track to meet, right? Like, these things are possible now, right? You throw in a bunch of upsets, I'm sorry, it just loses flavor. And that is a factor here. Like Shelby pointed out, these schools, they get them one moment, right? Boom. Oh my God. Now this coach is famous. Now these players are famous. Now the alumni is losing their minds. Now they go back to campus for a little bit. The schools are going absolutely crazy, and the town's going crazy, and everybody's going nuts, and they're getting more media attention, and they're getting, their phones are blowing up like, I saw you play. And everybody's all loving the life that they haven't gotten the entire time that they were there, because that's what this tournament will do. It'll make heroes out of people you've never heard of before. And then next thing you know, they have got to prepare for a game against Gonzaga, right? I mean, Gonzaga or North Carolina or Duke. All of a sudden, the coaching staff is like, okay, God, we're going to be playing Zion Williamson. Oh, my God, we're going to be playing Gonzaga that scores 100 points a game. Okay, how do we figure this out? And meanwhile, the kids are on their phones like, yeah, I'm going to be on Good Morning America. Woohoo! Oh, my God, I'm on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Yeah! Oh, this newspaper is doing a feature story on me. All of it blows up, and you've got to get these kids back to normal, back on track. And you know what happens? They try as best they can, but in the end, they don't. And you end up with a boring blowout game in the Sweet 16. Instead, and let me repeat this, I'm giving you Houston and Kentucky. It's going to be great. SB Nation AM.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What a... idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's a good, bad, and the dumb. You've had all weekend to come up with some really good ones. But we start with the good, Ron Culver.
The good. I don't know if you saw this video. I kind of wish they did it now that Gronk announced his retirement. But Bill Belichick showed us how exactly one should handle TMZ.
Okay, go ahead.
Did you see it at all?
No.
TMZ is doing their thing. Bill was coming, I believe he was coming out of a restaurant of some sort with his significant other. I don't know if it's his wife or his girlfriend. I'm not sure, but.
Yeah, I don't know either. I always see her, but I don't know if they're married. Yeah, very attractive woman.
But he's coming out of a restaurant. They're waiting for their car. And TMZ is just all over him, just asking question after question after question, trying to make him laugh. They got him to like smirk a little bit, you know, that Bill Belichick smirk. But guess how many words he said to him?
I'm guessing zero.
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 Zero. No matter what they asked him, no matter how they asked him, he would not break.
Good for him. That's awesome. Good for him.
I mean, it was an impressive display because, I mean, the camera's in their face and they're relentless. You could hear them the entire time. I mean, they wanted to know about, you know, is Brady... you know, superhuman. I mean, they were just more some outlandish questions that did cause them to smirk. But they wanted to get, you know, the dirt on Kraft, on what his thoughts were on Kraft. He would not budge at all. The only time anything was said was when one of them commented on his significant other,
and then
she was the one who spoke and was like, oh, thank you very much. And like, oh, Bill, you look good too. You know, you look really good too. And she's like, yes, he does, doesn't he? And he kind of just like, you know, that, little chuckle.
Right. Yeah, that little chuckle he does.
But it was, I mean, it was impressive. I'm looking at it, if I put myself in that situation, I'm singing.
Yeah, oh, I'm totally. I
will start. Something will just bound to pop up that I didn't want to say that I would totally regret later. The willpower this guy has is amazing.
He really does. He really is. He really is impressive. All right, we go into the bad now.
Oh man.
Uh-oh.
No. Okay, and it's funny. I came across this story because I actually will be heading to this town Memorial Day weekend. My son has a baseball tournament in a town called Dripping Springs, Texas.
Dripping Springs, Texas.
Yes, okay. It is a town outside of Austin.
Okay.
And there are two people there, two guys who grew up there all their life, Mr. Micah Archer and Daniel McCarthy, both who are 31. And they have proposed an initiative to change the town name from Dripping Springs because they feel that there was an injustice that the town was never named after the founders. The founders are Joseph McKeag Pound and his wife Sarah.
Oh gosh!
Do you want to know what they want to name the town?
I'm going to let you go.
They want to rename Dripping Springs, Texas to Pound Town, Texas.
Awesome. Well done.
You can't have that, boy. Right? I mean, are they even thinking, like, the first thought went through my mind, it's like, are they thinking of the kids?
No.
Because no. if you go to Pound Town High School, and
oh no,
and, you know,
I don't need that.
I mean, rival football teams, they don't have to be creative to come up with a joke. It's right true. There.
Yeah. Oh God. I almost want it to happen just to see.
Oh, so do I. I guess that's what the bad part of it is that we want to see just, I don't know, T-shirts.
Oh, no
stickers.
Doubt. No doubt.
Maybe, you know what? Maybe they bring back the button and we start wearing buttons again.
Yeah, that's good. That's right.
I mean, you know, it makes sense. I mean, there are other great names, city names across this great country. I know there's Intercourse, Pennsylvania.
That there is an Intercourse, Pennsylvania.
And
that's right.
So why not have Pound Town, Texas?
Why not? Are they close to the? How did they get this done? Are they close to this?
I don't know how
petition?
Close they are. It's just
how do you get this done?
It's just in petition form right now.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll see. We'll pay attention to that.
They're trying to gain support so they can put it on the ballot for 2020.
Is it? But Dripping Springs is kind of cool. Like, if I lived there, I wouldn't want to change it. I would want to say, no, this is kind of neat. I like this town. I like the town name. I want to keep it that way.
Yes. It says the town of Dripping Springs is not in any way associated with the initiative. Neither is the Friends of the Pound House, a local nonprofit which maintains the Dr. Pound Historical Farmstead Museum. So it's just these two guys are just taking it upon themselves to get a couple signatures, get it on the ballot, and hopefully rename the town Pound Town.
Gotcha. All right. Oh, man. Pound Town, Texas. That's awesome.
You got to love it.
Got to keep up with that one. Yes. All right. So we got the dumb?
The dumb of the day or the dumb of the weekend. I didn't know if you caught this story, but the Big Baller Brand's in trouble.
What? Give me some insight on this. I saw something about the Big Baller Brand, but I should have jumped right on it.
Yeah,
but
Lonzo Ball. I think it's the beginning of the end where he's slowly just disassociating himself with the Big Baller Brand. Basically, he has lost $1.5 million.
Oh, okay,
now, just as a decent chunk of change.
Yeah, it is.
One of the founders. Co-founders of the Big Baller Brand, and I'm trying to get his name up right here. His name is Alan Foster, who is a long, long-time friend of LeVar Ball. Was entrusted of converting some of this money in the Big Baller Brand business into, you know, investing it in something. Or basically what is happening is that there is $1.5 million kind of missing that he doesn't have invoices for. So Lonzo Ball is taking the steps to slowly start distancing himself. And part of the problem is that Lonzo Ball's financial advisor has been warning LeVar since last October. But LeVar has ignored it.
So Lonzo's PR financial people are warning LeVar that this is in trouble, and that's it.
That there's no accountability for $1.5 million that was entrusted to Lonzo's friend or LeVar Ball's friend, who's a co-founder.
That's not good. That's not good.
I think it's the beginning of the end of the Big Baller Brand.
Yeah, I really think it's the beginning of the end is right. But you know what? Can I? I'm not going to say we all predicted it because it's easy to say, hey, that's not going to work. But there was a real belief that, look, when Lonzo gets to the NBA, these shoe manufacturers are so powerful that it would be really hard to keep, you know, really hard not to get enticed by that. And that, you know, you really have to, it's hard to break into the shoe business. Like, it's hard to just create a brand and get into this business. And even if you have a son that's in the NBA, it's just not easy. And there's a lot of money on the table for this. I'm almost not surprised it fell apart because, plus, he was charging, what, $700 for the sneakers?
Yeah. I mean, that alone.
$400 or whatever it was?
That should make up the money. But, I mean, yeah. A little bit more from the financial advisor. He wrote in October, in an October email that went ignored, was trying to track down where $1.5 million in cash has gone.
Yeah, that's great.
He says Alan Foster, who's one of the co-founders with LeVar Ball, won't show any invoices or documentation of these expenses. He won't give me the number to the vendors he says he paid. And he said, I've never seen a company operate by withdrawing millions in cash. Only you and Alan can withdraw cash. And I know you didn't take out $1.5 million. So where is the money?
How do you lose $1.5 million?
I think Alan Foster's having a good time.
I think you might be right.
And, you know, it's getting to that point. I mean, you can trust your friend so much. It's probably one of his guys back in the day. I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know.
Good job, Big Baller Brand.
Big Baller Brand is on its way out.
Stay in your lane. Oh, God, LeVar. Too bad. All right. Well, I heard of a guy that wanted to buy one of the sneakers just as like a collector's item. Like, I collect sneakers, and this was just going to be part of the, you know, in the history of sneakers, wherever this fits. But I don't know anybody that was like, I can't wait to wear that.
I mean,
it doesn't fit anywhere. It's like a blip on the radar of the sneaker business.
You're never going to compare it to, you know, when the Jordans first came out, right?
No, right? That was it.
Or when the Reebok pump came out. I'm trying to think like iconic moments in shoe history.
Right. D. Brown pumping up the shoes.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Or PF Flyers.
When
the
Air Jordans first came out. You're right.
Go way, way back and get the PF Flyers.
I remember when a friend of mine very, very early in the 80s, I was really young, but I remember seeing my first Air Jordan logo and I was like blown away by it. Like it was the coolest thing I'd seen. But I didn't equate it to sneakers at the time. It just looked neat. Right, early Air Jordan logos.
It was just like, oh my God, I can't believe they can do that on a shoe.
Yeah, right.
I mean it looks so exactly neat. Like Jordan.
Yeah,
I mean it just was. Yeah.
So to me, it was, you know, it was that's pretty iconic. But this was never really that. So, yeah, no kidding. I got one for you actually. Did you see this cruise ship in Norway?
Yes.
Listen, I thought about putting that
in my bad, but Pound Town won.
Yeah, Pound Town was victorious over this. There's a cruise ship in Norway that's hitting rough seas, and there's video of people in the ship. There's furniture being tossed around a cruise ship, and then the power went out. I got to be honest with you. That looked like one of the most frightening things. Listen, there are videos I never want to watch, in all seriousness, all right? There are videos I never want to watch. I don't want to watch somebody's, like, if they've ever recover video from a phone, from a plane crash, like in the last, when people are going crazy.
Right.
Like when they realize, oh my God, we're plummeting in the air pocket things. If somehow there was video that was transmitted from that, if somebody on a phone.
Because somebody
sending
is.
It,
somebody's videotaping somebody's, it now.
I don't, I don't want to see it. That's petrifying to me. Watching this cruise ship thing. It felt the same way. Watching this, I'm thinking to myself, if I'm on that boat and I'm on high seas in Norway and those waves and power's out going out, and I'm thinking to myself, if this thing tips over or something happens to this boat, I don't know what is going to happen. Like, how do we get saved? How do we get rescued? What happens? What I don't want to know. That looks scary to me. And luckily, they got the ship to short. God bless everybody who was involved in that. That looked terrible. So congratulations on everybody that got that ship to safely to shore.
But I mean, yeah, but there were people, they were showing video of like people getting airlifted.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I stay on the Caribbean where it's quiet until the hurricane season, but I don't want to be like in the Atlantic Ocean.
You don't go cruising during hurricane season.
Yeah, don't go cruising during hurricane season. But also, like, I don't want to cross the Atlantic. That's scary.
Yeah, I know people still do it, but there's one particular time that still sticks out in my mind. I'm sure you know which one I'm talking about too. That, you know, just didn't make it.
Then,
yeah, you know, that's okay.
Yeah,
you don't need to go across the Atlantic. Fly.
No. And it's around this time too. So it was around like mid-April. Yeah, I don't need it either. So there you go. All right, good, bad, and the dumb for a Monday. It's SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I do want to say that today, Howard Cosell would have been 101 years old today. Cosell, one of the iconic sports broadcasters in the history of broadcasting, was born on this date in 1918. You know what? If you are an aspiring young broadcaster, there will never be another person in media like Howard Cosell. I think he was a combination of a perfect storm, if you will, of television, the rise of popularity on TV, like where a person who was a voice was really controversial and very polarizing. We don't really see that. Like you don't, Joe Buck is to an extent, but not like Howard Cosell. Like it was different. But Cosell, the brilliance behind Cosell was the fact that he had a lawyer's brain and wanted to broadcast. He wanted to be a sports broadcaster. But he always was very confident in himself. There was a story I read once in 1972 at the Olympics. We all remember that, or at least you know from history, that in the 72 Olympics, there were, while it was highlighted by, you know, Mark Spitz, and it was highlighted by the United States losing to the Soviet Union in basketball and a number of other, it was always going to be remembered for the tragedy of the Israeli athletes that got gunned down. And Cosell was angry because they didn't want him. He wanted to play more of a role in it, like Jim McKay like did that. And he was a perfect voice for that kind of thing. He was the voice of boxing, Monday Night Football. It wouldn't have been a Monday Night Football without Cosell. In the early days. So he would have been 101 years old. I remember Cosell. He did remember Battle of the Network Stars? Remember that goes way, way back. But remember all the television kind personalities. Of. It was very old, but it was very you'd have welcome back Cotter actor, blah, 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 running against Scott Baio from Happy Days. And they would run. And Cosell always treated it like he would do some of this stuff. He always treated it like it was a real sporting event instead of a bunch of celebrities just kind of goofing off on TV. Like he was really into it. But Cosell was really good at remember we talked about him with John Lennon's assassination? There was only one broadcaster that could have really done that moment justice. And that was Cosell. It would have come off so differently if Frank Gifford had done it. It would have come off differently. No offense to those guys, but it would have come off so differently if anybody else did it. Cosell had a way of going, I can take you from this sport and I can take you to news and do news and give you something that's really disturbing and really important. I can tell you that, but still have the credibility of my craft. I'm terrible. I would be terrible at it. I don't do news very well. I just like to have fun with sports. And if you gave me a script that said the president was shot or something serious, I'd have a hard time being an authoritative voice for that. Cosell had no trouble with that. No trouble transitioning from sports to news and back to sports again. He was pretty brilliant.